Welcome to the Over Under Achievers. I'm your host, Sonic McCoy. Join me as always. We haven't had this many cameras in here since we signed Tebow. It's Jason Waterfalls. That's true. I do remember that.
Great comment by Bill. Just legendary press conference type of guy. You know what I mean?
Look, is he... So, obviously, we're going to talk a lot about coaching changes, coaching vacancies. Do you look at the next 10 years, and are we just going to look at Bill Belichick as a coach? Primarily in that 10 years, or are we going to look at him as kind of like a fun personality around football over the next 10 years?
I think it's going to be like, there was a lot of stuff going on online about like his good press conferences. And this one guy would ask him off the wall questions and would get like an actual smile out of Bill every time. But I think it's going to be coach. But the fact that he put his dog, when he had to have a camera in his house, he put his dog up there. Like, there are little things quite a bit that make him a good personality. I don't know if he's going to cross over into just a personality in our minds and not, you know, the greatest coach of all time.
Because you get the game day. You get the – he shows up on documentaries. You get the once-a-year press conference deal. Part of me is thinking it's going to be personality just because he's older. And, like, realistically, can you coach for four more years max before like you need to settle down and like, you know, do the Lee Corso thing and just become a personality? Or is that even something he's interested in? Is he one of those people who disappears and you never really see him again and he's pretty content with that? I don't really know.
Lee Corso is 88 years old. Okay.
Looks every bit of it. Not in a bad way.
I'm not taking that.
Let 88 year old people look like they're 88.
Billy Bayless swears that Lee Corso should still be on that program, and I have no idea why. It's absolutely absurd. It's so mean. And he still works at Ticonderoga. You know that, right?
That was the thing. I was just about to say that. Learning that he's like,
you just learned that?
In the whatever the game day write up, you know, from a couple weeks ago. That was the first time I knew that. I knew he was like associated, but I thought it was like more of like I'm a zoo animal for this company.
And he might be. Like, I don't know what they're telling him. I see what happens on game day. I see what they're telling him and then what happens. So I have no clue what Ticonderoga is telling him about his global sales director position.
Do you think it's like when Jerry Jones in the Johnny Manziel draft, when they're like, Jerry, here's a war room, we're gonna be in here for the draft. And then Steven, his son, just didn't connect any of the phones. And he was like, oh, no, you're not going to line? Can we get tech on that? Meanwhile, there's actually a different war room because they can't let him draft Johnny Manziel. Incredible. Really incredible. Jason, man, what's good? How are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. It's, the national championship. I was on Michigan for a very long time. I got to tell you, and this is going to be immediately reversed when I do my best bet later, but... Why didn't I just take Michigan minus the points? I knew who was winning that game. I knew who the stronger team was. I did not know your boy, Michael Penix, was going to be the most injured he's been all season. His form, I saw this one video where he's a left-handed quarterback, and they flipped the video to be a right-handed quarterback, and you notice the disgustingness so much more when the video's flipped. But all of that nastiness came out in this national championship game.
Yeah, he is the quarterback Uncle Rico thinks he is. Same throwing motion, different success, right? Same throwing motion, different success. I was really talking myself into a Washington upset, or at least covering. And then I think I heard a stat that was like the last four or five favorites covered easily in the game. And that made me think about it. And then just looking at the matchups of like Michigan's going to road grade, can Washington stop the run? And, you know, I've got my Oregon goggles on. So I feel like anybody who beats Oregon is probably the best team in the world, you know? So I really had to come down from that. And then once I did, you know, I didn't have a great handle, made a sensible bet. Won some money thanks to Andre. I think he put a little parlay together and it worked out. You know, it wasn't like the triple digit bet I wanted it to be, but it was close.
I did a triple digit bet and I lost, and I took the over, and you know, I was like one touchdown away from it hitting, but one touchdown in that type of a game is a big deal. So it is what it is, but man, Michigan in the points was the bet. No doubt. We know that now, but I do feel bad for Michael Penix because that's not how he's played all year, and it looked really weird. And this has nothing to do with Michigan. It looked really weird how he was playing. I think he was more hurt. Obviously, it got to the end of the game, and he's doing like Byron Leftwich type injury stuff. But he seemed pretty hurt almost the entire game. But that might also be the Michigan getting to him and punishing him into the ground multiple times.
I think that's exactly what it was. I think it was a game that was suited to Michigan because those ACC refs were like, "What y'all want to do? You want to do weapons? You want to do fists? Like we'll agree on
both?
Whatever.
No problem."
And they're calling it both ways. But Michigan is way better at playing physical than Washington is. I don't care what crew had it. I think Michigan was just the best team in these four. They were going to win. They were destined to win. It was kind of that loaded up. All these seniors are here. We've been here forever. We've climbed the mountain when we've fallen off, and now we're here again. The only thing I now in retrospect is I wish Georgia had been in the mix because I'd love to see how that squared up.
You and me both, brother, and I've gotten a lot of flack for it, even on this podcast of like why should from you, like what I didn't have like the best answer of why should Georgia get in after losing the SEC championship game, but man, I that team against Michigan was the game I wanted to watch, and I'm not guaranteeing that Georgia was going to win. It's just that Georgia versus Michigan was the game I really, really wanted to see all freaking season long.
Yeah, I think I wanted to watch. That's why I'm trying to think, like, after the game, I was like, where do I slot this Michigan team in terms of, like, the last 10 years and champions? Are they on the higher end, lower end, middle? I don't know. I don't know that I can answer because I wanted to see a game where a team was like, hey, guess what? JJ McCarthy is going to have to beat us in the air. And maybe can, maybe can't. I came away from that game thinking, great kid, good offensive manager, can't play in the NFL. And I hear a lot of people saying he's going to be a great NFL quarterback. And I hear Jim Harbaugh saying he's the greatest quarterback in Michigan history. And I'm disgusted by something like that because,
well, he might be the greatest quarterback in Michigan history, even over Tom at Michigan. And JJ had a good,
he's not
Alabama
better than Drew Henson. Okay. That's a fact. He's not.
JJ Brian had a Greason. Good Alabama game. He did not have a good Washington game. That's
Do you think
truth.
JJ McCarthy is better than Brian Greasy? As a quarterback.
Yes, 100%. Brian Greasy ruined the Broncos for me. So
okay, he ruined the Broncos. He didn't ruin the Michigan Wolverines, though. He did
okay,
great.
But you love Tom at the Patriots and at Tampa Bay. You didn't love Tom when he was at Michigan.
No, I think Brian Greasy was a better quarterback than Tom Brady. And
I don't think Brian Greasy is a better anything. I'm just kidding. He's doing a good job as a coach at 49ers.
I love that he just slid it. He's like, I was a broadcaster, now I'm a quarterback's coach. It's not a big deal. Don't worry about it. And I'm doing a good job. Incredible. Really incredible. Okay. Well, Jason, we are gathered here to talk about, I don't know if this is like the craziest head coaching musical chairs in a generation. When you look at all the names and all the jobs that are open, not only just like right now, but what will happen as a result of some of these jobs being filled, it's pretty amazing. Obviously on the podcast, we did our predictions episodes. I predicted Nick Saban. I predicted Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick didn't feel like that big of a reach. I think I've been saying that for a while, actually. Nick Saban.
Yeah, I got that one wrong.
Yeah, well, I mean,
I said he'd be coaching week one at the Patriots next season.
And it did kind of feel like how the end of the season, it might lead in that direction. The Nick Saban one was more surprising. How surprised were you when you saw the news that Nick Saban, our sweet prince, had stepped down?
You know, when you think about everything that he said, and he was just like, I'm kind of exhausted. Like, this is a lot now. And he is older, and he wants to do something different, it seems like. And he won the SEC championship one more time. I think he was just like, I don't think I can do that against Kirby again. Like, it seemed like that was like the, and then going up against Michigan and losing and like not being able to figure out if Jalen Milroe is or isn't good. Spoiler alert. Maybe not so much at quarterback, but shout out to him. Shout out to Jalen Milroe. Got him to that point. Turned around most of the season, but I was not like it happening so abruptly was definitely surprising. Mm-hmm. It happening in the wave of Pete Carroll, Bill Belichick, that was surprising. But when you kind of step back for a second and look at it, Bill Belichick, not very surprising. Pete Carroll was actually more surprising. Like he's got the energy of a 25-year-old. And like the biggest surprise of all of them was freaking Vrabel at Tennessee. But apparently there's been some underlying things that have just not been reported much there. Yeah. And him just getting straight fired as opposed to retiring Nick Saban in Alabama or amicably allegedly, whatever's going on in New England. So, you know, it's definitely it's been a hectic week in a fun way.
Your point about Nick Saban kind of acting like it's a dad recognized dad move, where, like, you know, my son, he's 15 now, so it's getting even, right? And I've talked about, you know, he's wrestling now, and, you know, we'll do a little skirmish here for a second, and the second I get the better of him, I'll go, okay, I'm done, time out, out. And, like, I'm done, because if this goes another couple seasons, I think Nick's like, I'm not beating Kirby again. The guy has it rolling, so I got to get my W and move on. I think he's like, I don't even care what happens in the semifinal or the final. But it was honestly really refreshingly honest of him being like, look, I can work. The work's not a problem. It's being as sharp, being as on the details. I don't have it anymore. I'm older. I don't think I can do it. You don't really hear anybody say that much. You know, they'd say, I want to spend time with family, or they want to admit that. But I think just another step in, or another, I don't know, jewel in the crown of Nick Saban really being one of the most transformational, honest, interesting figures in college football of my lifetime, you know?
Absolutely. Especially once he got, you know, like LSU days. I don't remember Nick Saban LSU. I don't remember Nick Saban Michigan State that much, to be honest. Mm-hmm. You know, like there are some of those situations that aren't as clear to me. Him in Alabama has been pretty cool. I mean, as a college football fan, it just is kind of annoying for a while when they were just doing it again and again and again and again. But it is definitely a good run, and he seems like somebody that's not going to be back on the sidelines ever.
No, I don't think so.
As opposed to Bill Belichick, who, you know, same age, whatever. I think he's going to be back on the sideline. Do you?
Like in a couple weeks. Like it's going to be pre-resolved. Okay. Yeah. And I also want to say, just to Nick Saban, the thing people don't really talk about with him that I think he deserves some credit for, I want to say, like, end of Michigan State, beginning of LSU, maybe the whole run of LSU, kind of had a steal your girl phase, you know, Great look. Great. Looked healthy, looked in shape, looked like skincare was on point. Great coloration, you know, nice tan olive kind of vibe.
Young Al Pacino.
Had the hair working. Yeah. I mean, really, really nice stuff going on there for him and LSU. And people don't talk about that with him. So, yeah, I think, you know, we've got a little gimmick we're going to work through here in a second. But before we do that, I don't know, like, of all the vacancies, college and pro, which ones are you, like, most personally kind of intrigued and interested in right now?
Is it crazy to say that I'm most interested in Atlanta?
Hmm.
Is it crazy to say? Because they're not just a quarterback away, but a quarterback in one or two pieces. And that Atlanta team, I mean, they've got Pitts. They've got Bijan Robinson. Like, they've got some people there that are Drake London. They've got some players there that are really, really good. I'm not going to, like, grade the defense right now. Let's see what happens with a couple more pieces, hopefully. But, like, I don't know what's going on with the Chargers, just in general, as far as, like, the ownership and how they get kind of portrayed as not loving to spend money. Right?
Yeah. Cheapo. Cheapo and a couple
other things like that.
Tough combo.
You've got Mark Davis and the Raiders, like, just running through coaches and owing $1 billion to coaches. Maybe you can't, you know, blame Mark Davis completely for the John Gruden email stuff because he didn't write them, but here we are. So I do wonder, you either love Will Levis and you want that Tennessee job, or maybe Atlanta is the most positioned right now to come in there with a couple of key things and make something happen. I don't know. It's kind of interesting. I think that's a more actually kind of like the Alabama is just so tough to go replace him.
That I think that's the interesting part is it a great job? Yeah, obviously, of course. Is it the right job right now for a lot of these A1 kind of dudes? I don't know that it is, man. And weirdly, if Brian Kelly hadn't just been like rolling up coaches and spending the pocketbook to, compete in the new SEC, I feel like he's option number one for Michigan and Alabama, you know, but I feel like that ship's kind of sailed at this point.
Yeah. It's so interesting because a week ago, 2 weeks ago, you know, there was all kinds of coaching moves, and then the freaking Alabama head coaching job becomes available, which means that the Alabama offensive and defensive coordinators could become available, you know, mm-hmm. if somebody comes in and wants their people. And then all of a sudden, you've got second, third, fourth moves from people who just signed extensions, contracts, whatever. So it could get pretty interesting, certainly.
What of all the almost like there's a lot of things rumored, you know, and obviously right as we started recording, Gerard Mayo got named as the successor in New England. So that's official. I'm trying to think of like what would be the most surprising thing in this job shuffle. And I think for me, number one would be if Jim Harbaugh returned to Michigan. That's the most surprising thing that would happen to me in this situation.
I knew which side we landed on the Bill Belichick. I said he was going to be there. You said he wasn't. We might even have a tattoo bet on that. I don't recall, honestly. But we also had distinct sides on the Michigan thing. And I'm starting to think he's not coming back. What about you?
There's no way he comes back. I've been saying it for a minute. There's been reports of like friction in the administration with Michigan and some notions that when he wasn't doing as well and Michigan asked him to take a pay cut, that he has a long memory on that and felt a little humiliated. Whether or not that's true, I don't know. I think it's a little bit of that. I think it's a lot of probably what we're talking about with Nick Saban and some of these older coaches who I don't think they want to work in this new world. I don't think it's like, I hate the NIL. I think it's just, this demands a different kind of attention and enthusiasm orientation around details. And I don't have that anymore. I don't see Jim. I don't think Jim Harbaugh is quite there of like, I don't have the energy, but I think he has climbed the mountain in college. I think he really maxed it out on the roster. The thing no one's really talking about right now, but it is looming, is the NCAA is going to do something with them.
You think they're going to do something else?
Yeah, it's there's a lot of compared to what they just did with FSU yesterday, which
crazy. I still don't understand what happened. The assistant coach facilitated the meeting.
Evidently, what happened is what's happening everywhere all the time.
Yeah,
with
that's my
all
point.
Kinds of people, which I'm not the kind of person who's going to say that this feels like the bitchiest NCAA move for FSU complaining about not being in the playoff, but that's what it feels like.
I don't think it's because of the playoff. I think it's because of all the other FSU potentially taking outside money, trying to become its own entity. You know, like this has been going on before even the playoff. Now, it might all be related. I could understand that. But at the same time, like I saw a meme that was like, if FSU got in trouble for that, we are going to get in huge trouble. Like,
get in trouble. Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's like it's literally like the footage of when the fans storm the field. And the one security guard is just headhunting people, and everyone's streaming around him. But
that was so bad, by the way.
Just decks
that
guy, it's so bad, man.
It's so bad.
What are you doing? Ridiculous. So I think if he hangs around, they're going to be hit with. I mean, I think they're going to be hit with sanctions.
He already
regardless.
Missed six games. Like that's not nothing. The head coach missed six games in a season that they won the national championship. That is crazy. Just in a jar by itself, that's crazy. Yeah.
It's insane. So I think he's never been a hotter commodity. A lot of jobs are open. I think he's going to be able to name his price. And I think he has a really capable heir apparent in Sean Moore. So you feel like, I'm handing this off. This is going to be in good hands. It's not going to throw them into chaos.
If it's anybody but Moore, we riot, right? Like, you can't wear that vest, be that handsome all season, be that incredible of a vest wearer and a play caller and a coach, and then not get that job if Harbaugh leaves. You can't. Also, his name has been nowhere for other jobs. I mean, you know, a little here and there, but absolutely nowhere for other jobs. It has to be because of this, right?
I would assume so. Do I have some issues with his play calling? It feels like in both playoffs, there was like, hey, this thing works, and you can do the whole game and probably win by 60. And then like in the second, third quarters, it's like, well, what if we didn't? What if we won a different way? What if we played left-handed? And what if we tried some weird stuff? And then the fourth quarter, he goes back to it and he wins. I have some concerns about that. But in terms of how he handled,
I think it's beautiful. I think he's setting stuff up. I think he's a genius. I honestly do.
3D chess, man. That's just what that is. You know, he's just making it dramatic for people. I appreciate that. But I think that would be the most surprising thing. Anything else? You can tell me anything else. Bill Belichick's the commissioner of the NFL. I'd be like, oh, that makes sense. But if Jim Harbaugh goes back to Michigan, I would be floored.
Bill Belichick replacing Mike Vrabel at the Tennessee Titans would be the thing that would floor me.
Oh, interesting.
There's just interesting. No way. You don't follow up your disciple.
No. Well, and I think ownership there feels delusional, you know, because some of the stuff of why Mike Vrabel got
was
run
about
out of
the
town
Patriots.
Was about the Patriots, but also there's a big, you know, I don't want to say David Tepper energy because I think Amy Strunk Adams, I think is
yeah, Strunk.
So it's she inherited, you know, so it's a child of former owner who wants to make their imprint in the world. I don't know. I Will Levis isn't as bad as I thought he was. He's also not like Justin Herbert, you know. So
if you're Harbaugh, that's where you go. Nashville.
Oh man. That's a tough job.
That's better for him than the Chargers.
It's okay. Well, okay. Let's think out loud here.
Okay.
In terms of the seven jobs, right? The most hilarious thing would be Seattle because you have him replacing Pete Carroll. Remember they had that handshake where Pete Carroll's like, "What's your deal, man? Like, what's going on here? I'm cool vibes. You're like weird vibes.
I'm chewing
what's
gum.
Going on?
You swallow gum."
That would be hilarious. But he doesn't have a quarterback. San Diego. He has a quarterback. Tennessee doesn't have a quarterback.
It's in LA, but I appreciate that we are still calling this San Diego. And let's stick with that. No, no, don't. No. I want us both to lean into a non-mistake. You righted the ship there. This is the San Diego Chargers.
They're going back to San Diego.
They're not going back. San Diego is not inviting them back. They ripped down the stadium and built one for San Diego State, where Jim Harbaugh used to coach.
Eventually, on an infinite timeline, they will end up in San Diego.
They're going to end up in St. Louis
Maybe. Okay, so San Diego pending. He's got a quarterback, but weird owner. Tennessee doesn't have a quarterback, weird owner. Carolina, weird owner, doesn't have a quarterback. Washington doesn't have a quarterback, but has a draft pick and has a new owner. Washington's interesting.
Has essentially two UNC quarterbacks between Drake May and Sam Howell, and I think a good owner.
I think so. And then Las Vegas, weird owner.
Great owner. Great name. Hold on.
Great name.
Great name.
Owner.
Great owner.
Can you say great owner when he has a haircut like that? I'm asking.
Can you say bad owner when he has a haircut like that?
Or is he up front? He's like, look, I'm kind of weird, but you know that now.
All white, all black, mostly all white, white jeans. Like,
I'm just going to be honest about this. For a weird, ugly person to say, I'm all white, I'm going all white. That's the strangest move.
A weird, ugly white person saying, I'm going all white with white hair.
White is just like high. It's all Madden level difficulty in terms of looking decent.
And how's that a bad owner? He gets mad at like every third down they don't convert when he's in the box.
I don't hate it. I'm just saying there's a lot of things where I'm like, I don't know what the deal is.
I'm just saying I've turned around completely on him.
Okay.
Not just because of his name.
The roster's tough. The roster is tough. And I will say, I think I said this at the beginning of the year, the thing I was surest about was my bet that Jimmy Garoppolo would hit the under on his yards. And I felt so lovely watching that. All of that money trickle into my account because it's more dependable than Apple stock, you know? If we're talking about which job, I think it's Washington and he's been rumored there. I think Washington makes a lot of sense. You get to pick your quarterback,
but it makes sense for Bill as well. That's the crazy part.
If I'm Washington though, Bill's old. Bill Belichick is an old guy.
Okay. You know what? In the best case scenario, I think that Jim Harbaugh in the NFC East at Washington is the best thing that happens here. And Bill Belichick in San Diego adjacent is the best thing that happens here. Let's just see what happens with LA Bill. You know what I mean? Like let's feel a little different. Do you remember when the Rams went from St. Louis to LA and Jeff Fisher started like acting a little different? He was always kind of a chill,
like Hollywood
guy.
Jeff.
Yeah, but he was like kind of Hollywood Jeff. Let's see if we can get Bill to do that.
Hollywood Bill. I mean, look, I'm not against it. I do think, you know, some of the subtext here is we have a weekend of games, and if Dallas doesn't do well, a lot of rumors that Mike McCarthy might be out. I've seen if the Tampa Bay Buccaneers don't do well, Todd Bowles is going to be out. You think if the Eagles don't do well, Sirianni's out?
Yes, I do. I think that this has gotten so weird. Now, they seem to have backed him and whatever. I think that Mike McCarthy losing in the first round is a firing. I think that Nick Sirianni losing in the first round is maybe a firing.
I just don't think that Dallas can lose in the first round. It's going to be hard.
I don't either. But if that were to occur, bye-bye, Mike. And let me just say this for my friend Grayson. They need to get rid of Mike McCarthy. He is holding the entire team back.
Mm-hmm. That's why I don't want to be like, only if you lose in the first round. I just want to be like, unless you win a Super Bowl, I'm probably firing you, just so you know.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, if he can get... Even if they
win the Super Bowl, I'd be like, ah!
Is it worse for Belichick to go there and like stain his legacy? Or is it worse for Harbaugh to go there? And that's going to be... Harbaugh and Jerry Jones together just doesn't seem like it's going to be great for us as fans.
Okay, no, great for us as fans.
I don't know. No, this is like your... No, that's going to be like the Texas A&M great for us as fans. Whereas like after like 3 weeks, you're going to be like, I don't want to do this anymore. I am so sorry that I wished this into the world. I don't want to do this anymore.
This was wrong. This was wrong and this was unholy. I haven't seen anyone say, Jimbo, come home. Tuscaloosa. Come home, buddy. You think he's waiting on that call?
Kirby goes from Georgia to Alabama.
Look, there was nothing better on the internet this week than Pete Thamel's list of coaches and their buyouts.
Oh, my gosh.
And you saw the list, and then you saw an updated tweet. And the only difference was James Franklin's name was on the list. And just the idea of that man's agent being like, hey, James is in this conversation, just so you know. I don't know. I kind of do wish Alabama fans got to deal with James Franklin for a couple of years just to learn.
I would hope that you get to deal with James Franklin at Alabama. That is the best thing for the show.
Man,
because then we will have a true SEC enemy on the show.
Oh my gosh.
If James Franklin goes to SEC, I will stop sticking up for him. If he goes to Alabama.
I conquered the world with Vanderbilt and I reconquered it with Penn State-ish. And now I'm back to do it a third time. I don't know, man. I just don't know what to make of that. Okay. Anything else before we get to our gimmick?
No, let's do it. I'm excited.
All right. So we want to talk about like some of these coaching vacancies, right? Because everyone's talking about who's going to be where and who's going to do what and the betting odds for this and that. Everyone saw Dan Lanning in Tuscaloosa and is tracking his military plane and stuff like that.
How about that video? That was something. I don't know. that video that Dan Lanning put out is the equivalent of your voice. That like it validates your Dan Lanning impression 1,000%. It's insane. That was an insane video.
Not only am I going to say, hey, no, I'm happy here and I'm staying here, I'm spin zoning you and I'm using this to recruit you. I've actually now gotten you to commit to me.
He didn't win the Pac-12. He didn't make the playoff and he smoked a cigar, which, you know, in circles is a victory cigar.
Yep.
What did he win? Nothing.
Well, according to Andre in our group chat, there's some message board allegations that not only is Dan getting paid a really good paycheck, but he also has Nike stock.
But he already had that before he did the video with the cigar.
To be honest with you, if they paid him in Nike stock before he earned like a second contract, you know, because like Jimbo got his contract and then he got like another contract on top of that because like he did a good job in the first year or whatever, that would be crazy.
I think that's what happened. You think that got added on?
That's the reasonable thing to be because like you don't know if he's a good coach.
No, that's how I think they tied that to that for the buyout from the beginning.
Mm. Yeah, but like, what if he sucks? That would be my question. Like, what if he sucks? And then maybe that's contractually
some other school. Then Tulsa has got to pay $30 million in Nike stock.
Look, we're recording. You can see my office. The listeners can't, but I have an Oregon helmet in my like helmet collage.
We need to have a whole conversation about your helmets at some point. You're saying directions they're facing, the choices you've made.
You're saying this in a judgmental tone. I couldn't feel better about the choices I have.
I have questions, but that's for another day.
I think we should let the listeners guess. I have eight helmets. I want to see who can guess how many helmets accurately, you know, and I would be stunned. It's all respect and people that I'm emotionally attached to, you know. That's the best hint I can give you.
Okay, what's the one in the bottom right, second from the right?
Just love the helmet.
Okay,
it's a gray helmet.
Okay,
it's just a gray helmet.
Don't say which one it is, but I have no idea. You've never mentioned anyone that would directly connect to that you love.
Yeah, I have. He's a quarterback in the 90s AFC North. Yeah. Good stuff. It's just good stuff. I love helmets. I love Dan Lanning. I love that recruiting. Like, that's, see, I think Nick Saban looks at that yes. video and he's like,
I can't,
I don't have that heat anymore. Poor that Nick, dude is Anton Chigurh and I'm Josh, or I'm Tommy Lee Jones. I'm like, I don't want to live in this world. Okay.
Poor Nick Saban is like questioning himself. Did I ever have that heat? Like, that is, that is the most ridiculous video after losing the regular season to Washington.
Now be careful. I don't like your tone. Be careful. You need to be respectful. It's the world I want to live in. It's the world.
I get it. I do too. I do too. I want Josh Heupel to make the same video. You know what I mean?
I agree.
That's the heat we got to bring.
I think Lane Kiffin's watching. He's like, dang, I got to turn my game up. You know, I got to bring something to the
table. Lane versus Dan is going to get interesting.
It's the battle over my heart.
Before Shopify, were you wondering, where are my sales at? Now you're selling with Shopify, the global commerce platform supercharging your selling. You have no problem selling online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Gary, easy on the cha-ching.
Oh, sorry, but my Shopify sales are through the roof.
Start selling with Shopify today and discover how millions of businesses around the world use Shopify to ignite their selling. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen. Shopify.com/listen.
So we have a lot of coaching vacancies. We have no idea who's going to land where, but the value we can bring to this conversation is in terms of like quantifying these coaching vacancies. So we're going to do coaching vacancies as fictional television dads.
Interesting.
But the little twist is it's not necessarily like who the actual dad is. The idea would be like what it would be like to replace that dad. Okay. So like, you know, we have Michigan, we have Jim Harbaugh. Whoever's coming in is replacing Jim Harbaugh. What would that experience be like? What's the comparison that we can draw from pop culture? So we'll start with Michigan, Jim Harbaugh. I think the best comparison is Uncle Phil from Fresh Prince. Okay. I think just like Jim Harbaugh course corrected and changed the trajectory of Michigan football, similarly, Uncle Phil also did that with Will, right? There's the complicated legacy aspect because Jim went to Michigan. Uncle Phil has Carlton. That's complicated. But at the end of the day, he turned something around and he's ready to leave with it in a better place. How do you feel about that?
I love that. But who does that make Will? Is that J.J. McCarthy? Is that Coach Moore?
I think it's all the annoying Michigan alumni. Okay. You know, who
got your shot in there. All right, great. But,
I don't know what's more annoying, like Michigan man. Okay, let's just hash it out. What's more annoying? Identifying as
careful.
A Michigan
Rich
man.
Eisen listens to the show.
Look, Rich knows. We talked about it a lot. Is it more annoying to be like, I'm a Michigan man, or I went to the Ohio State University?
Oh, the more annoying thing is the Ohio State University. I'm going to pick that 7 days a week, unfortunately, for this conversation. It's a close second. And you know, Schefter, Rich Eisen, several others do it. Not so annoying, but there are some that, my gosh, Big Blue, it is aggressive.
I think I agree with you because at least the Michigan man, it implies a code of honor and a specific kind of behavioral ideology. I have no idea why you have to clarify that this is the Ohio State University.
Yeah, we're not talking about we're not talking about Miami University that might be in Ohio and might not be in Ohio. There's just one Ohio State University.
Okay, what I'm hearing, let's steer into it. Miami of Ohio, you need to be Miami of Ohio State. And now let's get real tricky.
Thank
okay?
you. Miami University of Ohio, the state.
And you
see,
say,
then you
we're,
throw a the
we're
in
the
there.
Miami of Ohio State. You know,
or
don't
do you
say
just
D,
go
you say
straight
the.
Against the Hurricanes and you say the my the you.
Okay, what if you're Miami of Ohio State Hurricanes?
Okay.
Now you've got war on two fronts.
If Miami University rebrands as the Hurricanes in the middle of yeah. Ohio, that is going to be our favorite team for the rest of time.
Wally Szczerbiak, do something. Do something.
Did he go there?
He went to Miami of Ohio. Yeah.
Wally Szczerbiak could S it for all I care. Him that taking shots at Halliburton.
Can just, suck it?
Yeah.
Did you bleep suck it?
Wow. Yeah.
I thought you bleeped SHIT, and I was like, I don't understand the insult. What you're inviting him to defecate on you?
But he was mean to Halliburton, so he made up for it. Wally's okay.
He was. Okay. Next job vacancy: Alabama. Alabama Crimson Tide, Nick Saban, obviously. I've paired this up with Atticus Finch. Okay, Atticus Finch. That's a movie, but you know, we'll nuance it. I think both are principled icons who transform their communities through their visions of the future, and both were super committed to recruiting. You know, Saban, obviously, all the blue chips he brought in. Atticus Finch named his daughter Scout, so he's obviously super invested in NIL and the recruiting of it all, making sure top five class. It's one of those things where if you had to step in to be Scout and Jim's father, the stepfather, it would be like,
is this the Boo Radley book?
Yeah, Boo Radley's in that. Okay. I mean, Boo Radley's not like in the, nailed in the paternal lineage, but yeah, he's like down the street, you know, played by Robert Duvall, actually. Fun fact,
there you
young
go.
Robert Duvall. So I don't think anybody's like, I want to be the stepfather to Atticus Finch's kids. You know, no one's like banging down that door. Similarly, I just don't know, you know, and some of the names I've heard, I'm sure you've seen Mike Norvell, Kalen DeBauer, and Tommy Reese. That one's insane. Honestly, I don't understand that.
Okay. But if you're going to replace a legend, and I'm not saying the Harbaugh is that, but Coach Moore replacing like that just kind of keeps the things going. I kind of can see Alabama giving this to Tommy Reese, knowing that you're really looking for the next coach.
Okay. So it's like a grease for the gears deal. Like yeah, you're sacrificing.
You're
someone.
Trying to keep, you know, consistency going. Like that is how Tommy Reese is going to like accidentally get the head coach of Alabama job after 2 years ago being the offensive coordinator for Notre Dame. That's insane.
I mean, cause he's, I think I saw he's 31 years old. And he would be coaching. That just feels like too much. That just feels like asking too much of someone. So I don't know if that's somebody's agent or if someone just had a good laugh, had a fun laugh about it, but that doesn't feel reasonable. None of those names feel reasonable to me, honestly.
Bill O'Brien, come home. Come home, Bill O'Brien.
Urban.
Oh my gosh.
Urban's actually kind of realistic now.
I know. Isn't that crazy? It's not going to happen. The Alabama wouldn't do that. It's not a fit. You know it's not a fit.
What's more unrealistic to you? Tommy Reese, new coach of Alabama Crimson Tide, or Urban Meyer?
Urban Meyer.
That's. I think Tommy Reese is more unrealistic. That's insane.
I understand, but here we are. Here we are.
New England with Bill Belichick. I've got Logan Roy from Succession.
Incredible.
Okay. Both men, legendary, harsh, surly, ruthless, both underwhelming children involved in their business. Both kind of fumbled the bag at the end, which sullies the legacy a little bit. Bill Belichick fumbled it with believing in Mac Jones, and Logan fumbled it with giving Carolina a shot on TV when everyone knew she was unqualified.
I know, but that audition tape was, I thought that they were going to like try to make her be medium to like get her on air and then like carry out that bit. The fact that the writers were like, no, let's make her absolutely terrible was incredible. I love that audition tape so much. I really like this Bill Belichick as Logan Roy because it's like, you know, Bill Belichick's been thinking about successors and all this stuff. And it was like always Josh McDaniels, but then like sent him away a couple of times to get like outside experience like he did with Kendall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether they left on their own or whatever, go with the analogy. But then it's like at the end, it's like, nah, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Turns out, nope, my bad.
I've got Seattle, Pete Carroll. I've got Mufasa. Okay. Another movie dad.
Oh my
dad.
Gosh.
Legendary, visionary, enthusiastic, hopeful, mindful of legacy. Also not good at decision making in a crisis, you know? Mufasa relied on Scar to pull him up on the cliffs, which everyone knew that was a bad decision. Honestly, letting Scar even hang around when he knew Scar wanted to kill him, bad decision. I'll also say, you know, choosing to let the hyenas like just go hungry and starve them out. Don't put baby in a corner. You know, don't put hyenas in a corner because they're probably going to conspire against you. So really fumbled the bag there. And then obviously Pete Carroll trying to make Russell Wilson a thing and not handing off the ball to Marshawn Lynch in the Super Bowl. That was his crisis moment.
I think Seattle should bring Jim Mora Jr. back. UConn coach.
Ooh, I don't think anybody wants that. I think the only people that want that is UConn. I think UConn would be like, you want him? You can have him.
He's yours.
Nothing.
We will get rid of our entire football program for you to take him back.
We will hand deliver right now.
I think he's doing a good job there as an independent head coach. It's tough out in the streets for Notre Dame and UConn.
Yeah, those are different programs, different situations. San Diego, Brandon Staley. What would it be like to replace Brandon Staley? What kind of pop culture comp do we have for that? I've got
which dad drove away and wasn't there for his kids. That's what it's like replacing Brandon Staley.
Okay, not dissimilar, right? I've got Grandpa Joe from Willy Wonka, because both Brandon Staley and Grandpa Joe, they ascended to places we're not sure that they earned, but they got to benefit from it nonetheless. Brandon Staley was tied with Sean McVay and friends, and because he was there, he got hired in San Diego. And Grandpa Joe was just like the only old person and the only person with free time to go with Charlie to the chocolate factory. Was kind of a guy who was like, I'm just not really doing much. And now suddenly I can move around. I'm active. I actually could probably get a job and like help with this family situation. You know,
Brandon Staley's ascent has been interesting. Do you ever feel like he has something on either everybody or somebody to do the things that he did and then be a maniacal person that, I think that he was kind of fun that first year, but then since then, it was like, oh, all those red flags that we saw that we ignored in year one, they were all actually red flags. It's crazy.
Well, it's the thing of, because I just, you assume anyone who gets fired or anyone who gets hired, they've got this long track record of accomplishment. And a lot of times that's the case. Someone like Brandon Staley didn't. It was like the straight line from like, I'm coaching Division III defense or whatever to now I'm the Chargers. It was really, really, really soon, really recent. I agree with you. I think it's either I've got dirty pictures on someone, or again, the Chargers are not serious people and are kind of cheap and they knew they could get them for a good price, which is underwhelming.
Insane. You
know? Tennessee, Mike Vrabel. What's it going to be like to replace him? What's that situation like? I've got Ned Stark from Game of Thrones. Okay. Both were good, able leaders, both cut down in their prime because of power struggles from ignorant children. We have Amy Adams that we talked about, daughter of Bud Adams, and Joffrey Lannister, you know, who were just, they're trying to make a point. And unfortunately, Ned Stark and Mike Vrabel both got caught in the crosshairs of that. How do you feel about that?
Okay, so you're not blaming Mike Vrabel.
No, I'm not blaming Mike Vrabel because...
But he is dead now, just like Ned. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, that's right.
For the first season of Game of Thrones.
Because I'll never forget seeing the picture of Mike Vrabel in the draft room when not Rand Carthon, John Robinson, I think the original GM, traded AJ Brown to the Eagles without Mike Vrabel knowing. And he had to deal with, oh my gosh, what just happened here? So I think it was like, I don't have control. All these stupid people are doing stupid things. And I don't know if he started quite quitting or if he's just like, look, this is not the place for me. This is not a serious organization.
I hope that he's the one that ends up in Atlanta. I actually do like Vrabel. I like him as a head coach. We will see, because being completely honest, it's a little bit biased because he seems like a cool, fun guy, whatever. But he did have a losing record the last two seasons. And they've got several quarterbacks that like multiple, meaning Malik, Will Levis, maybe. We'll see. He played hard. And Ryan Tannehill, you know, somebody that you've stuck up for years. We've got three quarterbacks there that just aren't cutting it. But then you look to the story that you just told about AJ Brown, and at what point was Mike Vrabel not involved in those votes? So was he just dealing what was handed to him? And then maybe he might be happy to be out, actually.
I think he is secretly. I think it went to that meeting and it was kind of like, hey, I'm gonna need you to be like this. And Mike Vrabel's like, I'm just not gonna do that. So you probably need to fire me. I could be wrong. I think he's a very good coach. I think he suffered from bad organizational decisions that he really didn't have a say in. Now the pendulum swinging to him having all the say, I don't think that's good. I really do fundamentally think coaches and GMs need to work in tandem.
Yes.
And a coach should not also be the GM, and the GM shouldn't be the coach.
GMs bring in their own guy because of that exact thing. And then that's what happens with some of these coaches. It's like, okay, here's a new GM. Well, that coach, you're out. Sorry.
Yeah, it's a bad fit, bad match, but I want him to get with. And so I know there's some, I think that's the complicated part with Atlanta. There's a power structure there. I think Rich McKay used to be the Bucks. He's kind of a decision maker for Arthur Blank. So I don't know if it almost feels like coach has to fit with him,
right?
Versus he's going to fit with a coach, you know? Speaking of Atlanta, let's talk about them. We've got Arthur Smith. Who's going to fill those big shoes? Arthur Smith. I've got Clark Griswold. similar situation. Okay. I think both Arthur Smith and Clark Griswold, they're men who are privileged with high status jobs, you know, good upbringings. They're also cursed with tempers, cursed with questionable judgment at times, right? And I think they're also burdened with very complicated family situations that comes with some of that aforementioned baggage. I mentioned like Rich McKay and Arthur Blank and weird meddling relatives like Arthur Blank. How do you feel about that one?
I love that one. And Arthur Smith, like, I don't know if he's a good coach or a bad coach. Like, it's interesting.
I think he's probably a good coordinator.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say. When he was in Tennessee, he did seem to do a good job. And a lot of these guys, man, Vic Fangio, like you're talking about, Brandon Staley got an opportunity way too early. Vic Fangio didn't get an opportunity for years and years and years. And then it was like, hey, turns out I'm a defensive coordinator. That's what I am. That's my ceiling. And that is okay. I'm an NFL defensive coordinator. That is okay. And Vic Fangio has been good since then. A lot of injuries in Miami, obviously. But yeah, Arthur Smith as Clark Griswold is incredible. I love that.
Would it be weird if Alabama went to Miami and said, Mike McDaniel?
Oh my gosh. If you want to talk about not a fit, holy crap. Mike McDaniel is a less fit for Alabama than Urban Meyer. That's an insane take by you.
I'm saying, repeating history, going to get the Miami Dolphins coach, right? I think in terms of personality, Mike McDaniel is well suited for the young athlete. He understands them. He speaks their language, is an incredible communicator. If we've learned nothing else from Hard Knocks, like the midseason Dolphins show, I don't know. I feel like he could be, obviously.
You do know he will not survive in Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
You don't think he'd survive?
No. Weirdly, the boosters would eat him alive. He'd be like,
here's the thing, though.
He'd be way too honest with them. He wouldn't stroke any egos ever.
That might be true. If he's insulated and he inherits the one voice only, I'm not taking your notes, kind of Nick Saban vibe. I'm trying to understand what this new world needs in college football, because the weird thing we didn't really talk about was, you know, if this had happened 3 years ago, I think Dabo Swinney's the obvious choice to go to Alabama. Everyone agrees on that. And now I don't think you could get,
for those 10%. That don't know, Dabo played at Alabama.
That's right. Played, I think, like GA'd there or something too. But I don't think you could get a consensus of 10% of Alabama fans who would want Dabo now. And it's because Dabo wants to coach his way. He doesn't want to do transfer portal. He feels like the NIL is unreligious and wrong. And that coach is just not going to succeed anymore. So I don't know if it's a person who...
It's Dan Lanning, it's Lane, and it's Coach Prime. Like, we joke about it, but it is. That's the
Coach
future
Prime,
of college football.
Coach Prime Alabama? Could Coach Prime work in Alabama?
That is my number one.
It's too fast, too soon.
It's a lot of things.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Okay, last one. Washington. We've got Carolina. I had like Johnny Rose for Carolina. You know, used to be a good situation. Now it's not. For the Raiders, I had Josh McDaniels as Ted Mosby. Both are just way too preoccupied with what they've done in the past. It limits their ability to work in the present. Ted Washington, Mosby. Though, you've got Ron Rivera. I've got Jim Hopper. Okay, both are good men.
Who's Jim
Admirable.
Hopper?
From Hopper. Stranger Things.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah.
Okay.
Hopper,
good dudes, overcome a lot in their life.
Yes.
But also are probably just not really skilled at their respective roles as coach and parent.
And you'll notice Ron Rivera got the "we mutually parted ways," right?
Yeah. Yeah.
They fired Jack Del Rio.
Yeah.
And they did it nice for Ron.
Ron Rivera is a great guy. Overcome cancer. What a person. Jim Hopper, same thing. Sheriff, he's under a tragedy. It doesn't mean he's a good parent to 11, though, because all he does is like give her egos and lets her play Dungeons and Dragons, which that is a parenting approach. It's not the best parenting approach, I would argue. You know, and similarly,
totally
like Rivera's like, I think Taylor Heineke and Sam Howell are the answer at quarterback. And it's just not, that's not it. But like, you're a good guy. You know?
I think this is a really good job, this Washington Commanders job. I think that they're going to get a new stadium.
I agree.
And I think in like 3 or 4 years, it's going to be a pretty hot destination.
I think so. They're going to clear the decks. They've got some talent. You're going to get a quarterback, a good owner. You're going to have a good GM there. I think it's good stuff, you know? Okay. Let's go ahead and go to, let's do some predictions, for the weekend. We're going to advise some people on how to get a payday, brought to you by King's Hawaiian Pretzel Bread.
There will come a payday. Hallelujah. What a payday. There will come a payday someday, someday. There will come a payday. Hallelujah. What a payday. There will
payday someday.
While our picks for your next payday are just guesses, the only real guarantee in life is King's Hawaiian Pretzel Bread. It won't make your family love you or your boss respect you, but it will be delicious. Guaranteed. Jason, what is your pick for a payday this weekend?
I would like to announce that I'm having King's Hawaiian Pretzel Bread this weekend. That's how excited I am about our Definitely They Know About a sponsor, King's Hawaiian Pretzel Bread. This weekend, I'm going for, you know how I didn't learn anything from the national championship game and I'm still going to do parlays when I really, really, really freaking shouldn't? Mm-hmm. This weekend, I'm going for three home favorites in a parlay. Dallas at home against Green Bay, Buffalo at home against Pittsburgh, and Kansas City at home in what might be a ton of snow against Miami. Parlaying those three money lines together gives me plus 128.
The only thing I worry about is Mason Rudolph and the Steelers.
Okay. You're doing that on purpose.
No, I'm not. I flew too close to the
sun. You just said
the
only thing
week.
I'm worried about is Mason Rudolph.
I look, not even a hot take, lukewarm take. I think Mason Rudolph is a good quarterback.
He's not a good quarterback. He's having a couple good games.
Three's more than a couple.
He's having a couple good games.
Now, what if the game gets changed? It's not in Buffalo anymore. No home field advantage. It's in Cleveland. That's weird. I don't know.
Yeah, the state of Mason emergency Rudolph. Again in Buffalo may really crush their home field advantage, which sucks. Why do they not put a lid on that stadium for their new stadium? Put a roof.
I agree.
I know it costs another $1 billion, but figure it out.
Man, I'm having a hard time. The one I'm really looking at is the Rams getting 3 points at Detroit. Sam Laporta getting hurt is tough.
It's tough.
Stafford going home. Goff going home. That's interesting. I'm also looking at Miami going to Kansas City, getting 4.5 points. I know it's going to be freezing, but 4.5 is a lot of points.
If Miami's got the running backs, Mostert and A-Chain, if they can run the ball, they do have a chance, especially getting points.
I don't know if it's the hot team in a cold climate and they're just going to get dump trucked. You know, that might be it too.
Right.
Okay. So I'm going to go with the Rams getting 3 over the Lions. That's my guarantee.
Bummer.
That's my guaranteed pick. I know.
I want the Lions to win.
Okay, let's go now to Came to Close to the Pin. We are currently at round 8, and I think it? 1, 2, 3. You're up 5-3. No, I'm sorry, 4-3 right now.
I'm up 4-3.
4-3. I'm going to let you pick. I've got two. We talked a lot about coaches. We can go Hugh Jackson or we can go Wade Phillips.
Because Baby Billy Bayless bought us a cameo from Hugh Jackson, I would like to pick Hugh Jackson. I don't know what he paid for it. But
okay.
I know that he sent us one. So
okay.
That's pretty
okay.
freaking hilarious.
So we're going to go Hugh Jackson. Okay. I've got my number.
All right. I'm going to be guessing $75.
Dang. I feel like I overshot. I said 175.
You might not have, because I think Hugh is the type of guy that's going to really bump that price up based on absolutely nothing.
It's like I'm Hugh Jackson. You know, I coached with Freddie Kitchens. You know what I mean? Like
I've heard
like
of him. Really... Hello.
He'll hop himself up. Okay, let me search. Former NFL coach Hugh Jackson with the Cleveland Browns. You can have him for $80.
Yes, sir.
He's current head coach of Grambling State University, by the way.
Oh, definitely knew that. What about yourself?
Definitely knew that. 100%. Yep, definitely did. Congratulations. Well done. You're closing in on a victory here.
With two to go, you're going to have to win out.
Yeah, I feel good. I feel renewed focus. So I think we're going to be able to pull it off. But that's going to do it for this edition of the Over Under Achievers. Before we go, we'd like to encourage you to spread the word about the show by tweeting, Instagram, or just talking about it out loud around people. You know, that's the best way to help us out. It makes you look like a genius because of what great taste you have. As always, I'm Knox. He's Jason. We'll see you next time.
Somebody once told me the world is going to roll me. I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed. She was looking kind of dumb with her finger and her thumb in the shape of an L on her forehead. Well, the tears start coming and the gums start coming. Back to the wounds and I hit the ground running. Didn't make sense, not to live for fun. The brain gets smart, but your head gets dumb. So much to do, so much to see, so what's wrong with it in the back streets? You'll never know if you don't go. You'll never shine if you don't glow. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on, get paid. Shooting stars with the moon. It's a cool place, and it's fake, it's colder. You're bundled up now, wait till you get colder. But the medium that begs to differ, judging by the hole in the satellite picture. The ice we skate is getting pretty thin. The world's getting warm, so you
you might as well swim. When world's on fire, how about yours? That's the way I like it, and I'll never get bored. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on.